back to Kathy is In, ladies and gentlemen. I am Kathy DeBono, psychotherapist and your host. No, I am not psychoanalyzing you the second you speak, but if you want me to, I can try. I was just, I'm here with Becca and I was just dancing. You guys know that I had shoulder surgery last week, so I'm just kind of bopping in my seat here, and Becca is getting totally nervous that I'm going to break something. And, you know, with good reason, because I tend to break things. Welcome back, everyone. I am so excited today. We have Danielle McKinnon, psychic and animal communicator. Danielle, are you there?
I'm here. I'm excited.
Hooray! Let me get rid of this music. There we go. Welcome, Danielle.
Well, I'm excited. I've been looking forward to this for weeks and weeks.
Well, I'm so glad. Oh, goodness, I think I just screwed something up on my screen. No, I didn't. Thank God. I'm so glad you've been looking forward to it. Danielle and I have been playing email tag because I hooked up with her through my friend Dougal Frazier, who you guys met a couple of weeks ago. He was a guest on the show. And I met Danielle through him. She gave me a reading on his show that for my dog. Do you remember that at all, Danielle? You're like, I talk to 3,700
sure.
dogs
no,
a day.
No, I don't. I don't remember stuff well, so it doesn't mean anything.
No, I hear you. I totally get it. You talked to Comet for a second for me, and she said she needed a room of her own, and she needed a bed, and she was basically being a diva.
Yes, actually, I do remember that, yes.
Yeah. And the thing that struck me about that was, you know, people ask me, how does an animal communicator, you know, how do you prove that they're, how do you prove that, right? I mean, we all can project our own thoughts and feelings onto our animals, but how can we know that someone is actually making contact? And the thing that impressed me so much about you is if you asked me what might Comet be worried about, I would have told you she just wanders around the apartment looking for her own space. And so you pretty much nailed it right on the head right there.
Cool.
Yes, yes. So I have a bunch of callers lined up. You guys, the number is 818-602-4929. We're going to take calls with Danielle today. I'm just going to get right down to it because I want as many folks to be able to connect with Danielle as possible. And her name is Danielle McKinnon. You can find her at daniellemckinnon.com. That's M-A-C-K-I-N-N-O-N. Did I get that right, Danielle?
You did, but before we do that, did you give Comet her own space?
Well, you know what happened is we ended up moving quite by chance, quite by other reasons. We ended up moving into a much bigger space, and so I just told Comet we did that for her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I don't know if she bought it or not, but
yeah,
now
does she believe you?
Now she's got plenty of space. Okay, we got our first call. I'm going to go for it. Danielle, is that okay? You ready?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, you're on the air. This is Kathy. Who's calling?
Hi, Kathy. This is Anne. I'm calling about my dog, Lulu.
Hi, Anne. Say hi to Danielle.
Hi, Danielle. Lulu was almost 11 years old, and we had to have her put down on November 14th. And, of course, we feel terrible about it. And I was just wondering, you know, if you can tell me anything about her.
What do you think, Danielle? Uh-oh, I think I lost Danielle.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shoot. Hey, Danielle, I'm going to call you back. Hey, Anne, I'm going to have you call me back in just a minute, okay? I remember your number. I'm just going to have you call back in just a second. Let's see if I can get Danielle back on the line. No. So let's get her back on the line.
It's okay. Once we get her back, it'll be fine. But anyway, Comet, in this time that we're getting Danielle back, I can say because I'm Kathy's new roommate, and Comet does seem a little bit happier. Don't you think?
I think she does.
Space?
I think all the animals do. I think they have more
There's
space.
There's a lot of animals. They have more space, and they're much happier.
Yes.
I think.
Now it says I have a call on hold. Why am I such a screw-up at this, Sam? Sam is coming in here to save us. We're having a discussion. I still need to get Danielle back. That's her number right there. Me and Becca were having a discussion on the way over here.
No,
I don't think we should talk about it.
All right, fine. You can bring it
up. Well, here's what happened. I have a propensity to burp, and it doesn't bother me. I don't know. Maybe it's cultural. Maybe it's from the Italian culture. I don't find it offensive. I curtail it when I have to. But Becca, Becca gets really offended, and then she says, "I'm going to start farting on you." And I was like, "You know what? Farting and burping are two different things." Oh my God, Danielle, you picked up just in time.
Where did I go?
Thank God.
We'll have to get back to that.
Oh, my God.
It was lonely here.
Danielle, I'm so sorry. I just, you know, I screwed up the technical stuff, which if you listen to my show, you'll find out is really just quite part of it. Anne, are you there?
Oh, my goodness.
Did you get her back?
Oh, yes. Everybody's back on the phone. For crying out loud, let's get down to it. So Anne was telling you about her dog, Lulu. I'm so sorry.
I heard nothing.
You heard nothing.
As soon as Anne came, I got nothing. I heard nothing. So,
all right.
Anne, hi.
Hi. Hi, Danielle. I was telling Kathy that my dog, Lulu, who would be 11 next month, we had to have her put down on November 14th. She was sick with diabetes and whatnot. And I was wondering if you could tell me anything about her.
Okay, so the way that this is going to work better, since we're doing these on the radio and for all the other people who are going to call in, is I need you to ask me a more specific question, something you'd like to know, and then I can connect with Lulu and kind of get an answer to that question. It just makes it easier for doing things kind of quickly on the radio. So
right.
Can you
well,
kind of narrow it down to a question?
Yeah, up until a year ago, she was a very, very active dog, very happy, running around like a crazy person. And in the last year, she's been totally lethargic, and I was wondering how miserable the poor thing was.
Okay. So when I connect with Lulu, she's not coming through to me as lethargic. She's coming through to me as kind of a smaller, very active, happy dog, happy all the time. Does that make sense to you?
That was her, all right.
Okay, and followed you around, very attached to you. She very much, there was definitely a division. When she went and started not feeling well, it was immediate. She was fine, she's saying, and then it was, boom, I don't feel well, correct?
Right, right.
Okay, so what she's saying to me about the not feeling well time is that she felt very tired, and she's telling me very thirsty as well,
yes.
And she, I'm going to say hot, but I think it's thirsty. I'm not, her tongue's hanging out of her mouth. I think that means thirsty. And
yeah, she was diabetic.
Okay, and then she also feels heavier in her body. But what I don't get is pain. I don't see that she was in pain. I get heaviness. And I get tired, and I get the thirsty thing, but I'm not getting pain. I'm not getting, she's showing me not depression. She still would hang out and follow you around, not quite as quickly and not as well, but she was still doing that. And she really just wanted to hang out with you until it was her time.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. That makes me feel a little better about
her.
Oh, good.
All right. Thanks for calling, Anne. That was great. That was great, Danielle. Can you tell us a little bit about how you get your information from the pet?
Sure. What's interesting is it depends on the pet. Some animals will talk. There'll be a chatterbox, and I'll hear words in my head, and they'll talk just like I'm listening to people. Well, not just like it's in my head, but
uh-huh.
They talk, and they go on and on. And some animals will show me pictures, little flashes of pictures.
Right.
Some will just impart knowledge on me, and I'll be like, oh, here's
right.
what I got, and
right.
I don't know how it got there.
Gotcha.
Sometimes it smells.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, when an animal gives me a smell, that's usually not all that pleasant.
Oh. Okay, well, we have another caller on the line. Hi, you're on the air. Who's calling?
This is Amy.
Hi, Amy. Say hi to Danielle.
Hi, Danielle. Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Do you have an animal and a question?
I do. I have an animal. His name is Bruce Wayne. It's a dog.
Okay.
And how does this work? Do I give you a question from him?
No, you give me a question from you, and I'll go to him and see what he has to say.
So my question is, we rescued him, and I'd like to know what his life was before he came to us and where did he come from.
Okay. Everybody always wants to know that, and the thing about that question is most animals, they live in the present moment, and 99% of the animals I work with don't want to talk about that. Although,
okay.
If I were faking, I could make it up, but they don't want to go there.
That's true. Okay, I'll ask you a present question.
Yes.
Is he happy, and is there anything we can do to make him happier than he may be?
Okay. He's a bigger dog, yes, around the middle?
He's a little on the smaller side.
But he's a little, he's not in that great of shape.
He's a normal size for his, he's a normal weight for his size.
Okay, so, well, I'm going to explain from his point of view. He feels like he wants more exercise, more doing, more going. He feels out of shape. He's showing me, he's like patting a belly going, I got a little belly. So, now it doesn't necessarily mean he has a belly, like he's fat, but he's out of shape according to how he wants to be. This is a dog who wants to be very active. You're aware of that?
Okay. Yeah.
What kind of dog is he?
He's a little terrier mixed breed.
Oh, okay. So that actually makes sense with wanting all the activity. And he wants it to be more, it's not just about, like, letting him out and having him be outside. It's really about doing certain things with him. So, like, having he would rather have to go and get something or do something or perform a job or a task than he would hang out and stand. He's not good at hanging out on his own. He wants a real task. That's the best way I can
say it. Yeah, he
does
spend
Bruce
a lot
Wayne
of time at home on the sofa and we're at work, and he does like when we take him places and do things with him.
Yeah, and if you can tell him when you're taking him somewhere, if you can say, all right, we're going here, and here's going to be what your task is, it's just going to stimulate him more because he's feeling lethargic. Not negative, not like sad or anything, just hanging around too much.
Okay, I got it. Now
okay.
He does,
okay,
and we cool. do that sometimes. We tell him, like, someone's coming over, we're going to need you to behave such and such way, and he always listens.
Yeah, but he wants a
that.
Job. So give him job. And the funny thing is he doesn't just want one job. A lot of animals would be like, or dogs in particular, we got to figure out what that particular dog's job is, you know, protection or whatever it is.
Okay.
But not him. He wants many.
Many. Okay, good. I'll do it.
Many.
Thanks for calling, Amy.
Cool.
That is really funny. I mean, I have some jobs that Bruce Wayne can do if he needs something to
do. I know, me too.
He can come over and clean my house.
I need him to do my laundry.
Isn't Bruce Wayne, is that Batman?
That is Batman.
Yeah.
Batman, yeah. Well, that's funny because his name kind of fits. He wants to be a superhero dog. He wants to do it all. And they're just having to meet Bruce Wayne in the mansion.
Oh, that's
Bruce
awesome.
Wayne.
That's awesome. Ari, another caller. Hi, you're on the air with Kathy and Danielle. What's your question for Danielle?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hi, yes.
Hi, who's calling?
Hi, this is Tony calling from New York.
Hi, Tony. What's your question for Danielle?
Sorry. I'm calling about my cat Pudding, who is sitting right here next to me. And I guess if I had to narrow it down to a specific question, because basically I just want to know kind of how she feels with me in the house, if she's happy. But more specifically, she's always been kind of not the nicest cat to everybody. She doesn't let just anybody touch her. She tends to bite and scratch. And, you know, so a lot of people have always kind of asked, why is your cat so mean? She's not that way toward me. She was when she was a tiny kitten, but she's not any longer. And I guess I just want to know why she's always kind of been that way, and just if she's happy in general and what I can do to make
you
her happy.
You hear anything coming from Pudding, Danielle?
Is it Pudding or Pudding?
It's kind of both. We go back and forth.
Okay, I only asked because I was connecting better with Pudding.
Yeah. It's probably Pudding more often.
Okay. So, but what I want to say is she shows me she's very nice with you because you respect her boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference is a lot of the people around her, they kind of come into her space. They just walk in, whereas you understand that she needs space and you let her come to you. She likes how you are better than how most other people are. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, totally. She has certain ways that she likes to be touched and certain ways she doesn't. And
but she also has certain ways she likes for people to enter a room. You know, entering a room all big and talkative with each other and, oh, hi, how are you? And, you know, that's not going to go over well with Pudding. She has a, it's not a queenly energy. It's just a, I don't know, self-righteous energy, like, do it my way.
Yeah, definitely. She's staring at me right now, actually.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Are you getting this? So if you want for the meetings with the other people to go better, it's almost like you want to have them come in the room, sit down, and not look at her, not talk to her, not interact with her, and not be big and bold in energy. And she says that you attract big, bold energy friends. So not be okay. So not be big and bold in energy. And then
I need to tell you that she just walked over to me. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but she just walked over to me and bit my arm.
She's making sure you're listening.
Are you hearing this?
I mean, you really... She considers it all to be her space, and it should go her way.
Okay. Well, that
There was one other thing. There was one other thing that she said while you were talking. It was, it's got to go my way.
Oh my.
I forgot it because I got distracted. Hold on. It's got to go my way. She also doesn't like that there's. How am I going to say that? All right. You're not talking nice about her with your friends.
I'm not?
No, the conversation is not, doesn't make her feel good about herself.
Man, Putin seems to have a lot of issues.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I said she seems to have a lot of issues. She doesn't like the way you talk about her. She doesn't like the way people enter her room. She's got a lot of freaking rules.
So, she knows who has said things about her that aren't nice, and she also knows who doesn't like her. And basically, if she's going to have a good relationship, a good conversation, a good connection with them, those people have to warm up first, and then she will. She's not making the first move.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, any conversation I'm having is me just defending her usually. I speak very nicely of her all the time.
And the conversation from on the other end is a little rough.
Yeah.
All right.
And she hears it.
Thank you for calling, Tony.
So even if you do... Well, if you do have another one of those conversations afterwards, say, see how I defend you, I understand you, and my friends will eventually understand you. I mean, but it really is going to be movement on their part first rather than hers.
Okay, thanks for calling, Tony. Who do we have here?
You have Maeve Quinlan.
Maeve Quinlan, hi. Danielle, are you still with us? Please tell me I didn't disconnect you.
No, I'm still here.
Oh,
I'm still here.
Thank goodness.
I'm here. How are you?
Thank goodness. Hi, Maeve. Do you have a question for Danielle?
I do. I just lost my golden retriever, Mr. Guinness, 3 weeks ago to a cancer called hemangiosarcoma, and I am not doing well with it at all. At all. So I just was wondering if he had something to say to me, because I had to struggle in the end with having to put him to sleep, or I could have kept chasing it, and I thought the most humane thing was to put him to sleep, and I'm haunted by it.
Danielle?
He was dying from it anyway, and he probably only had, maybe they said they could give him another 2 weeks, so I didn't think it was fair, but then somebody else told me they could have had longer, so... You know what I'm saying? Just wondering if he can.
Maeve,
talk
can you
to
give
me.
Us a moment? Because I think I don't know how we lost Danielle this time, but give us just a moment. Hold on, okay? Don't go anywhere.
Okay, great.
I'm not really sure what happened here. That's her number right here. And I want to get back to it.
Maybe my question scared her off.
She's like, oh,
geez. Crazy dog lady. I literally every night. His ashes and like have him in the box. It's like by my bed, hugging it. Oh God, scared her off. I probably scared her off.
I'm looking forward. No, you didn't scare her off. I'm sure that I hit the wrong button as usual. But I think calls like this, like I'm really excited for her to get back on the line here because I think calls like this are these are the moments when you really need to have this communication. And I bet your puppy is just waiting in line.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I've talked to so many friends of mine and that have gone through it as well, and you start blaming yourself. You think you've done something wrong. He was the cancer that he was, it was never going to be cured. It's an incurable cancer, but at the same time, that gave him a great quality of life.
Yeah.
And you wonder if you could have given him a longer quality of life. And
right.
You do in the end what you think is best at the time, but it haunts you. So.
Of course. Well, you have to know that if you did everything that you can and you let him go before it got painful, I'm going to say you did the right thing.
Yeah, that's the only thing I knew at the time. I went with my gut, which was he wasn't scared and he was bleeding. but they could have stopped the bleeding, but then it's a tumor that would have continued to bleed. It could have happened when I was at work or, and, you know, not there for him. So I just felt that was the best thing to do, but I could have run, I could have chased it longer. I just didn't know what to do. So it really, and he won't come, my dog before came to me in a dream afterwards, and Mr. Guinness has come to two friends of mine, but he's not coming to me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you maybe you're just too emotionally blocked right now, and if we can ever get Danielle back on the line, I bet she could open up to your dog.
That is exactly what I am. You know, Kathy, I've had a lot of loss in the last 15 months. I lost my dad, and then I lost my best guy friend 2 months ago, and then my dog 6 weeks after that, and it's just too much.
Wow.
Things come in threes.
That
and
is
this,
a lot of change.
Those other two I really went through, and this I'm just completely blocked because, as you know, he was my everything.
Yes.
And my heart is just completely hardened. I just...
Well, maybe it hasn't been that long, right? I mean, let's talk a minute while we get Danielle back on the line. Let's talk a minute about the process of grieving, because I think you have a lot to deal with all at one time. I mean, did you say it's
right.
three major losses in how long?
A little over a year. 15 months ago, I lost my dad. And then 2 months ago, I lost my best guy friend, only 49 years old. And then 6 weeks after that, I lost Mr. Guinness. Now, Mr. Guinness is supposed to die epileptic tumor. Hi.
Oh, my goodness.
Yay.
Thank you, Sam. A big apology out to everyone. I'm like a total idiot on this thing. Well, we have Danielle back, thank goodness, which is really all that matters.
I'm here.
For heaven's sake.
Hi, Danielle.
Sake.
I'm so happy to talk to you.
So Maeve was...
Who
was,
are you?
This is Maeve, and she was filling us in while you were gone about her loss of her dog, Mr. Guinness, and she was just wondering if you could make contact with him. And Maeve, it works best for Danielle if you have a specific question.
I want to know from Danielle, I'm not sure how much of that you got, but my dog was...
I got nothing.
Terrible. Okay. My dog, most gorgeous golden retriever you've ever seen in your life, and my everything. We were tied to the hip. He was diagnosed June 3rd with hemangiosarcoma, which is an incurable blood disease that he collapsed of a tumor that was hidden in his spleen. And we did the surgery, and he went through a little bit of chemo just to make sure that we could give him a good quality of life without anything being painful. And it's not a painful cancer. It just was eventually going to grow back somewhere else because it's in the blood, and it had, you know, gone through. So we knew it was an inevitable, but he did, it seems, collapse of a bleed. And when I brought him into the emergency room, we could have taken the fluid off his heart and given him, it would have probably given him another 2 weeks, maybe only a couple more days.
Okay,
nope.
she's got something. Let's let her speak.
No. you
did not make the wrong decision. I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't know what your question is, except that he's telling me you did not make the wrong decision. He was ready to go. He was absolutely ready. He was done.
Okay, thank you so much.
Oh.
Because the thing is, it's so
I just have Oh, no, I don't want you to go, because the whole time you were talking, he was talking. I just have a couple more things to tell
no,
you.
I'm just
don't
crying.
Go, don't go, Maeve. Let's hear from him.
Okay.
Let's let Danielle speak for your pup.
Okay. So, he went right into I was ready to go at that moment. That was my time. But you seem to have some connection to angels, and you asked the angels to guide him. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, it does, because when I was saying goodbye to him, he was tired because he was bleeding inside, and so then we
were right.
Yeah, and so he didn't feel scared, and the doctor said we can do this and relieve him, and it'll feel good, and he can go home with you, but it will come back again. And I said, no, I don't want to do this to him and drag him back in 2 weeks or 10 days. So I did have my time with him to say goodbye, and I just petted him, and I said I just want him to be my guardian angel and to look after me, because we need it right now.
Yeah.
So what was, I'm curious, Maeve, I know it's so hard to not want to keep talking about it, but I'm so curious what Mr. Guinness was saying to you about angels. Danielle?
He was saying that he was guided by angels and now comes back as your angel, as what you consider to be an angel. This is not my language. This is his language.
Because
I know what he means, but his language is he's come back to you as an angel, but that you sent him away with protection from angels. Does this all make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Wonderful.
Does,
okay. the other thing that he's saying is that he was absolutely beautiful and he knew it.
He was. You know, it's amazing. I wish I could pull up a photo. I don't know if you have a computer with you. You guys aren't together.
No. I got it from his point of view. I mean, the image is him kind of standing on a mountain, his long fur brushed and gorgeous and silky clean, flowing in the wind, head up. I mean, this was a... He knew he was good looking and clearly pumped him up in his self-confidence.
My favorite photo of him is just his head, and it's exactly what you're describing, in the clouds. And I have a Facebook page for him, and that's his. And he looks like an angel falling out of heaven. Yeah, he was proud. He was a proud boy, and I wanted him to go with dignity and still being like that and not having pain.
It
was going to happen in a couple days or a couple weeks anyway. So thank you for not letting him in.
No. Just one more piece. You did some type of prayer circle, got people together to say goodbye to him afterwards, and he really appreciated that.
I'll have to think what that was.
You gathered people. People were together, and they were talking about him.
Didn't you just say you started a Facebook page for him, Maeve, to say goodbye to him?
He's had a Facebook page.
I see.
But, I'm trying to figure what that is because I was there by myself and the doctor.
No. This is after. This is after. Oh. This is after he passed.
Yes. Well, put it this way. Yes, he's been coming with me everywhere where I've had a hard time sleeping at night, and so I've been staying at friends' houses, and so everywhere that I've been, we had Thanksgiving with him. He's been with us everywhere, and every family, everybody, best friend that he's ever been with of mine has usually a dog that was a best friend of his. So at each instance, I've sort of made the rounds with him. So, yes, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay.
I think that's great. Maeve, thank you for calling. I hope this gave you some comfort while you're trying to say goodbye to Mr. G, but it sounds like he's going to be with you for a while, so don't say goodbye too hard.
Thank you so much, because this has helped me. I've just been my heart has been so broken, Danielle, from it, that I'm not letting him in at all. My heart is like, as I think I'll fall apart. It's just so
it's
much loss.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's going to take a while, but eventually you'll be able to start connecting with him and seeing signs from him, but not until you're further along in your grief process.
Thank you so much. I'm not sure if you heard this part. I lost three big men in my life. My dad, my best guy friend, and my dog in the course of over a year. So I'm a bit torn up by it all. So
you got a lot going on. Yeah.
Maeve, thank you for calling. If you want to talk more about grief and loss, Maeve, you know how to find me. And we have another call on the line. Hi, who's calling?
This is Jill.
Hi, Jill.
Hello.
You want to say you have a question for Danielle?
Yes, I have a cat named Lily, and we have sort of a lot of animals in the house, and there seems to be an interesting dynamic happening in particular with one of the other cats. So I'm just wondering what is going on with her.
Okay, can you give me the name of the other cat?
Butch.
Okay. The first thing that when I connect with Lily comes through as a bit of a, she's a boss. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
she's not coming through as a shrinking violet kind of cat. She's coming through as she knows what she wants. A little bit like Puddin, but a little different. It kind of comes through. She knows what she wants. She likes things to go her way. I got to tell you, the next thing, as soon as I got that, the next thing she said to me is she wants to be an only cat. She doesn't want all this chaos. She doesn't want all this adventure around her. She just wants it to be her and her people. Are you aware of that?
Oh, boy. Well, that's going to be tough. We have a lot of animals. Okay, well, that might...
But did you...
It seems to be this particular cat, though, that she has an issue with. And it's just one particular cat she seems to have an issue with.
I gotta stick with what she's saying, which is at this point she'd just rather be on her own. let me go to Butch for a moment and see if we can bring Butch into the conversation. Does that sound good?
Okay. Yes, please.
Okay, so when I bring Butch in, and Butch does not fit his name, huh? That's a funny name for Butch. Butch is not very Butch.
In some ways he is. In some ways okay. he is, but okay.
He's coming through to me kind of looking like, he's actually coming through looking like the victimized. He's being victimized. He's the
yes.
one who's... not happy about it. He's giving me big sad eyes. And can you believe
oh.
this is happening to me? You know,
yeah,
the whole,
this is
whole
true.
Deal here.
Okay.
So
this
I'm just going to ask him, does, what's her name again? Lily? Okay. Does he like, he does not like Lily. He does not like how this is going.
No.
He says that everybody else sees what she's doing. And it, and they, she's still not stopping. She, I mean, this is like two kids is what's going on here. So, I mean, he
yeah.
really feels like the younger victimized brother. And then we've got
okay.
Lily who feels she's totally right on and is so done with this. All right, so what's going on here is Lily is very strong in energy. And she doesn't like it when anybody displays weakness, and she's going to jump on that. And Butch, I know you're saying that in some ways he's very Butch. He doesn't come across very Butch to me at all. So she's showing me that she doesn't like his weakness. She doesn't like his softness. She thinks he needs to toughen up, and she's trying to toughen him up. If he's not going to toughen up, then what's she doing all this work, and she should just be on her own. So she's pretty fed up.
Lily.
Okay.
Lily sounds like she's taking a lot of responsibility.
I mean, how do you fix that? I mean, what do you do?
What do you do? I mean, the obvious choice that is not ideal would be to have Lily go to a new home where she can be on her own. You know, she it is the point she's saying that she's at. Butch, it feels like, loves being with the group, loves being with everyone else. Lily, on the other hand, kind of tolerates everybody, but wants to be the queen. I'm going to say it, actually wants to be the king, wants to be the top, the, you know, that's it. So, with all of the chaos.
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
I find this really funny. I just think it's really funny that there's a little cat named Lily who's bossing around a cat named Butch, and she wants to be the king.
And, well, not only is Lily bossing around Butch, Lily is dominating. Lily's swiping at. Lily's going after Butch.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
She does. She swipes at him all the time. And I think I should stop it, but apparently it's not going to change much.
It's not going to change anything. This is actually a situation where you've got two cats who are at their wit's end. You're going to have to separate them.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Well,
thanks for calling, Jill.
I just want to say, if I put the energy together of you going in and stopping a fight, it's just putting everything on hold. It's not actually shifting the energy. It's not actually creating change, and it's not helping them get along better. What you could do before doing the separation thing, you know, Butch does have this soft side to him, but also a weak side, and there's nothing wrong with soft, but the weaker victimized part is there. So what you may want to do is start pumping him up. Ah, Butch, you're okay, don't worry about it. Yeah, Butch, come on, you know, start pumping him up. Kind of like, you know how the woman did with Mr. Guinness? How she was clearly telling him how beautiful he was.
Right.
Then he showed us a picture of him on a mountain and he was so gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
You can really affect an animal's perception of themselves that way. And so I feel like if you could do the same thing with Butch to help him feel better about himself, as he feels better about himself, Lily's going to back off. If you can effectively do it.
This
with
makes
Butch.
Sense. This makes a lot of psychological sense too.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because you know that stuff.
Yeah. This is very well done, Danielle. I'm very proud of you right now.
Okay. I will try to pump him up. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye,
Jill.
Don't do it. Wait. Don't do it like he's a baby. Oh, Butch, you're such a big boy. You know, really pump him up. Nice job, Butch. You know, treat him manly.
I think that is hysterical. And it's, you know, it's so funny how... They really are just like little people in these ways.
Yeah. Well, they function very much the same in their emotions and their feelings and what they want. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, we have another call. Danielle, we're going to work you to the bone today. Hi, you're on the air with Kathy. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Megan.
Hi, Megan. What's your question
Megan.
For Danielle?
Hi, real fast, Kathy. Hi, I met you in Tampa at the film festival.
Oh yeah, hey Megan. So this is
Megan,
this
yeah.
is that Megan. Nice to hear from you. What's your question for Danielle?
Well, it's my cat Mimi. She is pretty neurotic. Been that way ever since we got her. A friend of a friend found her, and she has a problem with the litter box. She seems like she's able to pee in there, but she like refuses to poo in the litter box. We've got a bunch of them around for her, and she still just kind of doesn't. She'll do it right next to the box, but not actually in it.
Okay, so it's Mamie or Mimi?
Mimi.
Mimi. M-E-M-E?
M-I-M-I.
Okay, Mimi. Okay, Mimi. Okay, so as you're talking and I'm connecting with her, what she's showing me that is that she has high anxiety all the time. She's very nervous cat. She's okay connecting with me, but she's staying across the room. She is not willing to come near me at all, even though I've made myself kind of as soft and comfortable as possible. She's staying over there. But there's huge anxiety going on here. When I'm looking at her and asking about the litter box, this is not a physical problem that she's having. She's not sick. This is all anxiety that she's dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to, something that we haven't talked about yet, but I help people understand about animal soul contracts and that animals will display a certain behavior as a way to help us evolve ourselves. And so one of the things that she's showing me is that there's also a lot of anxiety in the house. Does this make sense?
I guess a bit. I mean, I have another cat here, and I think she kind of bullies her because she's about at least twice her size.
I'm actually talking human anxiety.
I'm going to just stick to people. Oh,
yes.
a bit. Not a lot, I don't think.
Okay, she's saying it feels like there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of I'm gonna call it, let's call it type A worry. You know, gotta do it, gotta make it happen, gotta. It's
she's
that
got
kind
ambition
of
issues? Jesus.
Type A energy.
Okay, I can kind of see that. Yeah.
Okay. So what that's doing is there's not a lot of relaxation going on, and so she's not relaxing, and so the message she's giving you is, I need things to calm down in the house, let's bring it down a few notches, have some relaxing time, and then as she relaxes, the message, which is the poop outside the litter box, will start to be inside the litter box. But that's going to be, that's your barometer right there, is
okay.
If she's pooping outside the litter box, she's too much in her anxiety, and that's her way of showing you, I'm too anxious.
Can I interject a little something that might help? We have a really anxious cat, and there's these Bach flower remedies out there that are called Rescue Remedy. And they're just herbal, and we put, you know, you'd think, oh wow, how can these really help? They're homeopathic. We put a little drop on her tongue when we watch her sort of like picking at herself and scratching at herself. That's how her anxiety manifests. And it really does seem to calm her down. So Megan, you might want to get some, it's called Bach flower essence, I believe. You get it at Whole Foods or something like this, and you want to get the Rescue Remedy for anxiety. And it comes in a little spritz or a little dropper, and you just put a little bit on her tongue, and that may help.
And they also make Rescue Remedy for animals.
Yeah, Bach flower, B-A-C-H. Yeah, you're right, Danielle. They do make stuff specifically for animals, too, don't they? Rather than...
Yeah, and you can just... I would just go for Rescue Remedy. So you could even look it up on the web. It's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, because it's so awesome. But the other thing is, I would suggest that maybe the other humans in the house take it as well. Because if we can lower the overall energy, it's going to help.
You should get some help.
You know, I'd like the humans in my house to take it. I think that's a good idea.
You can't go wrong with Rescue Remedy.
Megan,
thank you for
calling. We have another caller on the line. Are you exhausted yet, Danielle? We have you sprinting this entire hour.
I know. It is. It's fast. Let's go.
Everybody wants to talk to you. You're like real popular right now. So hi, you're on the line with Kathy and Danielle. Who's calling?
This is Sarah.
Hey, Sarah. What's your question for Danielle?
Well, I have a new puppy in my house named Sadie, and I was just wondering how Sadie is adjusting to the new house and how she's feeling about things. Her owners.
Okay. Her owners, her humans. So
human.
I'm going to tell you that with puppies, it's connecting and communicating is a little different because they're not as much in their body. They're a little harder to connect with. Same with kittens, any younger animal. So I just want you to know that up front so that when I'm giving you information, you're not like, huh, that's not very much. They're still getting used to their bodies and adjusting, so the connection isn't quite the same. But I will say Sadie is showing me that she is a little confused about the rules. She feels like she gets different rules from different people. Does that make sense to you?
That would be correct, yes.
Okay.
My son is very much more lenient than I am with her, so.
Okay, yeah, you're clearly not the lenient one, not with that energy. Yeah. But what's your son's name?
Jacob.
Okay. Let me ask. Yeah, she's agreeing. Sadie is agreeing that it's Jacob. What you need to know about that is it's making her feel a little uncomfortable. She's not showing me the picture of the totally happy-go-lucky. She's a little like a little furrowed brow. So really kind of solidifying those rules and explaining to Jacob that it helps her feel comfortable as a dog is going to be important here, because otherwise you're going to end up with a dog that's challenging you because she's confused over what the real rules are.
Okay. That sounds about right. She's been a little pill this week, so I think
And has Jacob been around more?
Yeah, he's been off of school for a couple days, so.
It sounds like Jacob needs a little training.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, you know, what would work would be, can you go to an impromptu, PetSmart type training class with the puppy and Jacob under the guise of this is for the puppy, but really it's for Jacob?
That would be wonderful.
I like you, Danielle. You're sneaky. I like it.
That's really smart.
We've got to train Jacob.
Sarah, thank you for calling.
Yeah, he needs the training. She doesn't.
Yeah. Yes,
she actually responds very well. She's very smart, mm-hmm. But she's just been a little bit naughty this last week enough because he's been around more. So.
Yeah, well,
Sarah,
go train him and you're all set.
Thank you for calling it. Yeah, I have that problem, I think, in my house. My dog keeps getting in a little bit of a trouble because I allow her to sleep on the couch when Jill's not watching. But I'm not supposed to do that. And then, Jill comes in and finds her on the couch, and I'm like, oh, Comet, what are you doing?
Oh, my God.
No, I'm kidding. It's not that bad.
Do you really need me for that one?
No. That one I have all figured out. We have another call, Danielle. Who's on the line with us right now? Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Who's calling?
My name's Kristen.
Hi, Kristen. Do you have a question for Danielle?
I guess so. My dog Max always seems very, very worried all the time, and we don't really know why. We got him as a puppy, and he's always been, nothing really happened that he should have been really scared of, no abuse, anything like that, but he seems like he's on some kind of weird emotional roller coaster, and he's always worried about things.
Okay. So when I connect with Max, I agree that he comes through worried. There's a furrowed brow there and a little bit of the pouty lip. It's a little bit of confusion as well. But he also shows me a picture of him in arm. Okay, so you guys baby him.
Yes.
Are you aware of that? And so what
absolutely.
Okay, so what you're doing when you're babying him is you are basically rewarding his worry behavior and showing him that this is what you want from him and asking for him to do more of it. So the more he does the worry, the more you baby him, the more he worries because he thinks that's what you want. And this is why he's coming through with the furrowed brow and the pouty lip, because he's worried, but he's also confused.
because he doesn't feel great all the time. But it actually has, the change has to come through you guys. I feel like there's more than one human involved. Through you guys,
yes,
rather than through him. Does that make sense? So you actually have to let go of him being the baby. And remember how we were talking about with Butch, you kind of like puff him up a little and be like, hey, Butch. You kind of need to do the same thing with, oop, who are we talking to?
Max.
Max, with Max. I got his energy signature. I just forgot his name. We kind of have to do the same thing with Max in terms of when he goes into that worry place, when you see it, rather than responding and going, it's okay, Max. Don't worry, Max. Be like, hey, no problem, Max. Let's go over here and play some ball, you know, and just really be the strong leader for him. The stronger the leader you are, the easier it's going to be for him to relax into that, and then you're kind of showing him the behavior that you want rather than reinforcing the behavior that now is making him confused and worried.
Okay, that makes sense.
Cool. What I want to say, there's one more thing. I feel like you haven't really tapped into everything he has to offer yet because of the babying thing. He's a lot more fun than you know, and you're going to discover that the less you baby him.
Okay.
Uh-oh, he asked
well,
for
I think he's really fun now, so I can't wait then.
Well, there's a whole lot more coming, so get ready.
Well, that's awesome. I can't guarantee the babying will stop because I love him that much, but we'll see. I'll work on it.
Think of it this way. Wait, think of it this way. In human land, babying, someone who's babied, you know, they kind of revel in it. But in dog land, when somebody's babied, first of all, when you're babying somebody, it puts you in a lower vibrating energy, a more negative energy, because dogs basically view that leadership, let's go, how you do an energy, as the main energy.
Right.
Anything else is negative. So now you're making him feel insecure, plus you're rewarding his insecurity.
Right.
So definitely
work
on that babying thing.
Okay. I hear you. Whatever works for him, I understand.
Thanks for calling, Kristen.
All right, thank you.
Danielle, are you just exhausted at this point?
I'm tired. Want to do one more?
Well, we might have time for one more. This is the first time there's been a lull in the phone activity. The entire
Okay, then
hour.
Let's not do another more.
Let's not do another more. Yeah, but you know what you're saying about babying the animals? It's so true. I mean, it works that way with people, too. When we baby kids or when we let our kids see that something is making us anxious or we're worried that they're anxious or that they don't have what they want and what do you want and what do you need and, oh, my God, did you cut yourself? And, oh, my God, you know, have you had any lunch today? If we're freaking out, they're freaking out. And I think you're so right on when you say it works the same way with our pets. They want to know.
And not only does it work with the same way with our pets, but in dog land, any type of freaking out is viewed as a weakness, and the dog naturally then feels like it has to step up.
Right.
But a dog in human world can't step up. A dog can't be the alpha in the human world. A dog can't drive a car. A dog can't open the door. So it really is a very confusing and fearful place for an animal to end up being.
You know what I wish a dog could do? I wish they could clean dishes and make
Well,
the
they can, but I wouldn't eat off the dish.
That's a good point.
That's kind of true. We do have one more call. Do you want to take it, Danielle? Should we do it?
Sure.
All right. One more call. Lucky last caller. Hi, you're on the air with Kathy and Danielle. Do you have a question for Danielle?
Yeah. I lost my cat and Pixie on July 1st and another one recently, and I was wondering if she could connect with them.
I'm not sure what you mean. Do you mean you lost, like, can't find,
right,
or?
No, they both died.
Okay. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I think Danielle works best when you have a particular question for your pet. I think that's what you need, right, Danielle?
For radio, you know, when I'm doing it in sessions, it's totally different. But on radio, that's how I can connect in, is linked to the question.
Gotcha.
Do you
have a question about one of them?
Yeah, like, is Pixie around? Does she come around? I mean, I haven't felt her, so I was wondering if maybe you had any feeling of her being around.
Okay. So when I connect with Pixie feels like a very soft, gentle-natured cat. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Unlike some of the other cats we've talked with today who are very like, I'm me and I want it my way, Pixie's kind of the opposite. And kind of was very amenable to change and was just hung out in the background, you know, wasn't obtrusive in any way. Now, the thing about that type of personality, she's going to keep that personality when she crosses over. So that means it's going to be a little harder for you to get messages and signs from her from the other side, because it's not like some of the other cats we've talked to where they'll be like, I am right here, get this loud, large message. You know, hers is going to be very soft. What she's saying is that for you, the best way that she can connect with you would be through your dreams, because she's very soft and very, she's just not going to push her way in. So you still have grief about this, so the easiest way is through the dream when you're actually kind of let your guard down.
Okay.
That was
beautiful.
Does
that make sense?
That makes sense to me, and I had to let our caller go because we are just about out of time. I know that she got your message, but that does make sense to me. Our dream state being, you know, that middle realm where anything's possible and we can connect on different vibrations.
Especially the people who are in full-on, like, really big grief, a lot of the time that's the only way an animal is able to come through to them. And even that is only once, maybe twice, until that person moves further through that grief. And then the animal is able to come through. And if it's a bird who's passed, you find a feather, you know, neat little messages. But that, you know, dream state is really, at least for her and for other people I've worked with too, it's going to be the best way for now. So what she could do is before she goes to bed, she could call on either of the cats and say, will you come to me tonight? I'd like to have a visit.
Then
do it several nights in a row, and eventually it will work. Eventually you will remember what that dream was when you got to hang out with your cat.
That's great. That's great. Danielle, thank you so much for being with us today. We worked you to the bone. Would you come back sometime soon, and you and I can actually spend some time talking? I'd love to ask you a bunch of questions and just get to know you better and have my listeners get to know you better. Would you be interested in doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be fun.
Okay, great. Thank you for being here today, Danielle. I have now got to go and say thank you to my sponsors, LuckyDogLeather.com, Blagaspot.com, DiscoverSuite.com, and WeHaveToStopNow.tv. If you are listening on LA Talk Radio, this is where we say goodbye. If you're listening on Transformation Talk Radio or on WBLQ 1230 AM, please stay tuned, because we are now going to have the Kathy is in 5 minute feature with musician Ali Handel, who will be here very, very soon on the show, and I think you're really going to enjoy her. Good day, ladies and gentlemen.
Bravo!
I loved that.
That was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!
You're listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And now, the Kathy is In 5 minute feature.
Musician Ali Handel.
Yeah.
She chases him.